Very warm good morning to all of you. Today, we conclude our series on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're looking at the final three, which are the gifts of power, and they're on the screen. Three of them, faith, healing, and miracles. I will go straight into these gifts. They are very much needed today in our church and in our community. Firstly, gift of faith. I think we're all familiar with saving faith, salvation faith. This is the faith that a person needs when he first puts his trust in Jesus and he says to Jesus, "You are my personal Lord and Savior. I put my faith in you." This is what we call salvation faith. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is different from salvation faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit is like it's a sudden surge of faith, where you believe that the impossible can happen simply because God says it will happen. Jesus spoke of this kind of faith in Matthew 17, verse 20. He said, "If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." If you have faith like a mustard seed, well, we've heard that a mustard seed is very small. But exactly how small is it? You know, recently, I've become very interested in seeds for eating. I love to eat seeds. And so let's look at some seeds for comparison. Firstly, there's the avocado seed, which is relatively big. It's about 60 millimeters average length. I'm talking about the seed. I'm not talking about the fruit. The fruit is bigger. I'm talking about the seed that is inside the fruit. It is relatively big at 60 mm. Next is the sesame seed. And this is small, very small compared, only 3.5 mm. I think you're familiar with this sesame seed. If you've eaten burgers, you must have eaten these sesame seeds because they're a common topping for burgers. And also, there's a wonderful salad dressing full of sesame seeds. So I think you're familiar with these seeds. Pretty small. There's something even smaller than that, and that's the famous chia seed. This is a health food. The chia seed is, wow, it's only 1.7 mm. Very small indeed. In fact, if you've ever tried eating chia seeds, you will probably get frustrated because one chia seed is so small, it's very hard to get your teeth onto this one chia seed. It's just so small. But you know, there's something even smaller than the chia seed, and that is the mustard seed. It's a record 1.5 mm in length, truly small. Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, so tiny, you can move a mountain. You know, in the Bible, there's the famous story of David versus Goliath. Goliath was a towering giant, a Philistine. And he was so strong and so powerful, so tall, that the entire Israelite army under King Saul was terrified of this giant. They were literally quaking in fear. Nobody dared to fight with Goliath because he was such a giant. But then came David, young in age compared to Goliath, short compared to Goliath, muscle strength, nothing compared to Goliath. And yet, by faith, David beat Goliath simply because David had strong faith in Almighty God. And so you keep this picture in mind. David versus Goliath, David wins by faith. And now let's see the next slide. Mustard seed versus mountain. The comparison is even greater. If Goliath was a giant, a mountain is so much higher than Goliath. If David was small compared to Goliath, the mustard seed is just a tiny, tiny speck compared to David. And compared to a mountain, the mustard seed is hardly visible at all. And yet, mustard seed or faith versus mountain, mustard seed wins. Faith wins. And so, don't be discouraged. Whatever our problems are, how large they seem in life, how immovable like a mountain, Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed. You can move this mountain. Nothing will be impossible for you. 2 years ago, we had a cathedral camp in Malaysia. I planned to drive up, but when I was preparing to go, I realized that my Malaysian cash card, which is called a touch-and-go card, it had expired. And so I needed to get a new one. As I was praying about this, Holy Spirit told me to go to a certain petrol station in Singapore to get a new touch-and-go card. I knew it's not possible. You can't buy a Malaysian touch-and-go card in Singapore, only in Malaysia. But Holy Spirit said to go, and so I went to this particular petrol station. I went to the cashier, and I said, "Can you sell me a Malaysian touch-and-go card?" And she said, "No, you can't buy it in Singapore, you know, only in Malaysia." And I was thinking in my heart, "I know, but Holy Spirit told me to ask you." So I asked her a second time, "Can you sell me a Malaysian touch-and-go card?" And you should have seen the look on her face. It's like horror. "Didn't you hear me the first time? I already said, you can't buy it in Singapore, only in Malaysia." And I was thinking, "I know, but Holy Spirit really told me to ask you. So what am I going to do?" I think I'll ask her a third time. So I was about to say, "Can you?" And her eyes grew very big. And before I could finish my sentence, "Can you?" Just then, a customer heard us. He's a total stranger. I've never seen him before. He heard us talking. And he said to me, "You want a Malaysian touch-and-go card? You can have mine." And I said, "What?" And it was so unbelievable. I had to say, "Excuse me, what did you say?" And so he repeated it. "You want to go to Malaysia? You can have my touch-and-go card." He said, "The only condition is that on your return, you must top it up and then return it to me." And he looked at me and said, "You look quite honest." And so I said, "I hope so. I'm a pastor." How could this possibly happen? Why would a total stranger trust me with his touch-and-go card? It's only, surely, because the Holy Spirit made it all possible. The Holy Spirit, when He tells us to do something, even if we don't understand, how strange it sounds, simply do. This is the faith that the Holy Spirit gives to us, to believe in the impossible, simply because He says it will be so. The second faith, second gift we'll look at is the gift of healing. Gift of healing. Gifts of healing. Jesus definitely had gifts of healing. He healed blind people. He healed the lame. He healed the deaf. And we can read all of that in Matthew 4:23. There are many translations of the Bible giving different emphasis to different words. The one translation that I find the best for Matthew 4:23 is actually the RSV, Revised Standard Version. And to me, it is the best for this verse because it brings out the closest to the original Greek words that were used. So let's look at the RSV, Matthew 4:23. It says that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity. Every disease, every infirmity. They're not the same. A disease is an abnormal condition of the body. So anyone, any age, no matter how old, no matter how young, anyone, any age can have a disease, an abnormal condition of the body. But an infirmity is a weakness or a disability, especially due to old age. And so when I read that Jesus healed every disease, every infirmity, I am so encouraged. You know, I've met a lot of people, and they tell me that they're not well, their bodies are not working well, because they say age is catching up with them. It could be so. Age could be catching up with them. But the good news is Jesus heals every disease. Jesus heals every infirmity. Amen. This is good news. And Jesus did not just do so in Bible times. He continues to do so now because Jesus is the same
yesterday, today, forever. His healing ministry is a power ministry. We look at Luke 5:17. On one of those days, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Wow. His healing ministry was a power ministry. Jesus was there. And yet, it's almost as if there's something else which the Bible calls the power of the Lord was present to heal. People in the time of Jesus, they definitely were aware of this power. And so we read in Luke 6:19. It says, all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. The people definitely knew there was something in Jesus different from other people. Jesus had power in him to heal. And just by touching him, somehow that power would transfer into their bodies to heal all their sicknesses. And so we read in the case of the woman who had a long-term bleeding problem. This is what Jesus said in Luke 8:46. He said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. Amen. When we touch Jesus in faith, power comes out from him into our bodies. And this power is greater than any sickness, any disease, any infirmity that is in our body. Jesus is able to heal us. Amen. You know, I'm so grateful to the Lord that he has enabled me to taste a little bit of the power of the Lord for healing. Many years ago, I went to Nigeria to the church of T.B. Joshua. He's a healing evangelist. Very controversial, but for those who are willing to look at him and his ministry with open heart, open eyes, I believe you will see God's anointing upon him. And so I went with a group of Singaporeans, and we stayed in his church compound for several days. We weren't the only foreigners. There were foreigners from many other countries. And of course, we witnessed with our own eyes God's anointing upon T.B. Joshua as he prayed for the sick. People were healed of many sicknesses, including HIV. All of us as foreigners, we were looking forward especially to the personal time that he said he would have with us. And so this came on the final night when I was in Nigeria. He called us to his office one by one. So we were waiting outside his office. Then one by one, he would call us into his office. When it was my turn, I went to see him. He said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, so you need to pray for sick people? I said, yes, I pray for sick people a lot. He said, all right, put out your hand. So I put out my right hand. And he put his hands, one on top of my right hand and the other one below my right hand. And he began to pray. And I can't even remember the words that he prayed. All I know is that when I went to bed that night, I was trying to sleep, but I could not sleep because my right hand felt really strange. It felt like there was electricity running right through it. It was such a weird feeling. I've never had this before. And I was saying, what is wrong with my right hand? And I said to myself, just go and sleep. You'll be fine tomorrow morning. The next morning, I wasn't fine. The electricity, the current was still there. And that was so long ago, I still feel it in my right hand. The year was actually 2001. And I remember that clearly because when we were watching TV in T.B. Joshua's church compound, when we were free, everything on the news was about the September 11 Twin Tower attacks. The year 2001. It's been so long since then. I still feel the electricity in my right hand. Not continuously, but sometimes when I hear of a sick person, when I see a sick person, I will feel the current, and then I know the anointing of God has come. The power of God has come to heal. Amen. The third gift that we look at this morning the gift of miracles. Through this gift that the Holy Spirit gives, a believer is able to do things, extraordinary things, which cannot be explained scientifically. There is some overlap with the gifts of healing, except that healing may take some time, but a miracle is like an instant answer. In the case of Jesus, the first miracle or the first sign that he did was to turn water into wine. And he did this at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. When I was in school, in chemistry class, I remember the teacher drummed it into us. Water is written this way, H2O. And what it means is there are two molecules of hydrogen attached to one molecule of water. H2O, together they form water. Wine is drastically different. There is a chemistry of wine. And so, we can see it on the screen, the chemistry of wine. Wine is made up of water, ethanol, glycerol, organic acids, tannins, phenolics, plus other compounds. If you count them in total, there are more than 1,000 chemical compounds in wine. How did Jesus go from simple H2O to more than 1,000 chemical compounds in wine? It's not possible. It is a miracle. Jesus did it instantly. Amen. You know, to experience a miracle is most wonderful. And how much more wonderful when you experience it together as a congregation. And so for me, the miracle which I personally experienced, which most stands out in my memory, happened in August 2011, right here at the 7 a.m. service. In those days, our worship began at 6:45 a.m. Now we begin at 6:40. So when we began our worship at 6:45, everything was wonderful, everything is normal, and then suddenly, boom, suddenly the screens went blank. Suddenly, there was no sound coming from the microphone. Everything went dead. No power. And so our AV people, our technical engineering people, were running around the whole nave, frantically trying to fix the problem. It could not be fixed. The power could not come back. And then it was 7 o'clock, time to start the service. We had to start, even though it was like almost like a deaf and a dumb show, because you couldn't see anything on the screen, you couldn't hear anything at all. But it was time to start the service. And so we began the first part of our liturgy and even the lesson reading. But I'm sure practically no one heard it because you couldn't hear it. You couldn't see what's happening. You couldn't hear it. And then I could see Pastor coming. He's such a brave fellow. He grabbed hold of a small guitar amplifier, and he was running everywhere. You know, down here, there are some places where you can plug in the microphone. So he took a microphone plugged to a guitar amplifier, a small one. He was frantically trying every single socket, and I heard him. I was there, and I heard him. Everyone that he tried, he said, "No power. Try the next one. No power. Next one. No power. Every single one. No power." And then our dean at that time, Bishop Kwan Kim Singh, he came up here to the pulpit, and he's ready to preach his sermon. No one could hear him. Poor Kaming was trying his best, but no one would be able to hear Bishop Kwan. Meanwhile, I was just there, and I had a very strong prompting from the Holy Spirit. Pray. We need to pray in public. And I had no time to think. It happened so fast. I am so grateful I had no time to think. Because if I had thought, most likely I would have given in to fear. You know, I would have thought things like, what happens if we all pray and then nothing happens? That would be so embarrassing. But praise God, I had no time to think. I only knew Holy Spirit wanted us to pray. And so I came here and I was saying, "Bishop Kwan, Bishop Kwan." And he looked at me. I said, "Can I have your permission to pray before you preach?" And he said, "Yes." And so I stood there and I said, come and stand beside me. And I called Chia Kaming to stand beside me because my voice is very soft. Kaming's voice is very loud. He's got this natural loudspeaker in his body, you see. So I knew that if I spoke softly, you all can't hear me. But if I speak and coming repeats after me, somehow you can hear the words. So I said, come and stand before me, stand next to me. And then I said, and he translated to everyone, and I said, we have a power failure. The screens are dead. The sound system is dead. But we are going to pray as a congregation. We're going to pray, and we're going to ask God for a miracle, and we're going to ask that God restores the power. And I said, so I will pray, and then coming will repeat after me, and you all repeat after coming, and as a congregation, we will pray. And then we started. As I started to pray, for some strange reason, which I still do not understand until this day, the congregation heard my soft voice. I have no idea how you could hear my soft voice. You didn't even wait for coming to be my loudspeaker. Somehow you could hear my soft voice. So as I prayed, the congregation repeated after me. And we prayed, ask God for a miracle. Ask God to restore the power. At the end of our prayer, we said, amen. And then Bishop Kwan began to speak. You know, the minute he began to preach, the screens came back to life. The sound came back on instantly. I looked at Lian Suan. She was sitting there. Lian Suan's jaw dropped. Because it was an instant miracle. God answered immediately. And everyone in the congregation knew it. And everyone just spontaneously, no one said anything. Everyone spontaneously just clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped. And we couldn't stop clapping. Because God did this miracle. Amen. And this is the miracle that stands out for me the most, because it was something that we, as a 7 a.m. congregation, we shared corporately. And it was glorious. It was glorious. Praise God. And so, in conclusion, the last three gifts, let's see the slide again. Faith, healings, miracles. Gifts that are so much needed in the body of Christ, so much needed in society today for the common good. My prayer is that all of us will desire these gifts so that we can bless others, so that we can bring the gospel to those who need it. First, we need to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we can ask Him for the gifts as He decides which one to give to us, any or more of the nine which we have looked at. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Korabakarabasharabash. Dadabakarabasharabanayadabasharaba. Dorabakirama tadabash. Dadadadabakaramans. Father, we give you thanks that truly Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you that you are glorious and you have given to us your Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that we have tasted and we can say truly God is good. Amen. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will just move in our midst. Touch every person here. Everyone whose heart is beating for you. Everyone who's desiring more of your Holy Spirit, everyone who's desiring to know you more and to show forth your power in our lives. Father, I pray that you will do a glorious thing in our midst. Make us hungry for more of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.